From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 1973 in New York City. It was the Israeli Day Parade down Fifth Avenue. A Hebrew school class was there, and an 11-year-old student named Judy was marching in the parade. She saw a woman in the crowd holding a sign that said her son was gay until he went to a doctor. And the sign listed the doctor's phone number in case anybody wanted it. Young Judy saw the sign and thought, maybe I should call the doctor. Oh, wait a second. Wow, I'm gay. Well, that story is now part of Judy Gold's stand-up comedy. She's become a very popular comedian. She's coming to the JCC in Rochester on Sunday for two shows, and she is not afraid to riff on a wide range of subjects, from her own revelation that she was gay, to being a gay parent, to being a Jewish mother. In fact, her show is called 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother. This hour, we'll explore the subjects that inspire her comedy and what has made it so popular. So let me welcome Judy Gold by phone. Judy, it's great to have you. How are you?
Oh, it is my pleasure. I love NPR, and I'm just humbled to be on your show today. And I love Tchaikovsky's Sonata Pathetique, so go hear that.
Absolutely. Also with us is Ralph Maranto, who's the JCC's artistic director. It's always great to have you, and I know you are very excited for this weekend. And Matt Tappan is here. Matt is a proud dad who's going to talk as well about some of the issues that come up in Judy's comedy. So it's great to have you here, Matt. You have a, let's see here, 2-year-old and one on the way?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes.
How's it going?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, right. God. No, it isn't. They're 2 years old.
My 2-year-old is amazing.
I hate when people say that. You just wait. You just wait till, like, well, actually, I really enjoyed the toddler. You know, the terrible twos are not that terrible. You just wait till the teenage years, okay, Matt?
I'm holding out for those, Judy. I'm holding out for those.
Yeah, they're terrific. Terrific.
Ralph Maranto, tell us why the JCC is so excited about this weekend, and for you, you know, this is such a wide range of subjects that Judy gets to touch on, but why, you know, you wanted to make sure she came to Rochester.
Well, yeah, we, you know, at the JCC Center Stage Theater, we love to do all different types of shows that hit all different backgrounds. Obviously, when we have something that is a conversation starter, like 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, and it has a Jewish theme, and it has an amazing performer, we couldn't be more thrilled to bring it to Rochester. I've been watching this show as Judy did it in New York, and I thought, we'd never be able to bring her and it to Rochester, but she's got some family connections up here, and she's coming in tomorrow, and we'll be hosting the big JCC gala on Saturday night, and then we've got two shows with her on Sunday, so we couldn't be more excited to have her here.
Well, Judy, you know, our producer Megan Mack found that clip of you telling the story of 1973, but I want to know I want to know how true that story is.
That's funny, because when you were saying it, I was like, oh, that happened to me.
Is it true?
That is, you know, there's a book called When I Knew that I'm in, and it's been out for, it's got to be 10 years at least. And the author, he asked all these gay celebrities, if you will, when they knew they were gay. And it's an interesting thing because I always knew I was gay. I always knew, wait, I'm not like them. But you don't really know that you're gay until you start going through puberty. It's just like, you know, in heterosexual people that that sort of blooms at a certain time and you realize, oh, that's what it was. That's what it is about me. And I will never forget being marching in that Israeli Day Parade, and there was some crazy woman with some sign that said, my son was gay, but he went to see Dr. So-and-so, and I, in my head, said, oh, maybe I should write that doctor's number down. And then I thought, oh, my God! But, you know, and this is 1970s. We don't talk about being gay.
Yeah.
And, to watch this journey of gay rights, gay marriage, equality, families, you know, it has been, you know, I hate being 53 years old, but to be able to witness, you know, our trajectory and what we've accomplished in such a short period of time, it has been amazing.
We were just talking about before the program began that I was even saying 10 years ago, I thought, you know, wouldn't it have been cool to have been to grow up in a generation? Because if you look at the polls and you look at where certain things are going, I mean, it's not controversial to say that it was definitely going to happen. The question was, would we see it in our lifetimes? And I probably thought 10 years ago we wouldn't. And now,
Now,
you know, if we could, I'd like to play a clip of Judy talking an appearance on HuffPost Live a couple of years ago, when you were talking about kind of these related issues, but you also talked about, you know, your kids' generation and how it's changing. It's going to be so different even a generation from now. I'd like to listen. This is Judy on HuffPost Live from a couple of years ago.
If you think of Harvey Milk, and his whole message was, come out. Come out, and people will know that they know and love a gay person. I think that everyone in this country knows and loves a gay person, whether or not they realize it. And as you can see, you know, from these very conservative people, when you think of Dick Cheney, who thought that I would ever agree with him on anything, right. You know? He is pro-gay marriage. And Portman, I mean, you know, it's when they
really... But should it take having someone in your family come out to make
it shouldn't, but it humanizes it. For, mm-hmm. I mean... That is the sad part. But until they realize, because they don't, you know, they have all this stuff fed into their heads. I mean, look, my kids, they don't understand why gay people can't get married. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to them. And I think that this generation of my children, they're going to change the world.
Judy, I could not agree more. I mean, I've got a son who's almost four, and the notion of, I'm not going to live in pie in the sky world and say my son has no prejudice or will never have prejudice or could never have prejudice. But I just see kids or teenagers today, and they do seem to have a different outlook than I recall even being around growing up. And I think that's part of what you're saying there. It is very interesting to see where we're going, and in some ways very inspiring.
Yeah, it is truly, truly a beautiful thing to look at because... You know, my children, my oldest son was born in 1996, and it wasn't a very common, you know, when we went to daycare and when we went, my kids went to, well, one continues, one's in college, but to go to public school, it wasn't like, we were sort of these token lesbian parents. And also in my stand-up, once I had a child, I had all this material about being a parent, and I thought every comic talks about their families and their act, and that's what I'm going to do. And you know, there's a message that you send if you're a performer that you send to your child when you don't discuss this issue, that it's something we're ashamed of, it's something that we are hiding. And I look at my children who, one's in high school, one's a sophomore in college, and I say to them, you know, they'll come home and say, oh, this kid, he's a sophomore, he's transgender, and he was blah, 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 blah. And it's nothing. It is nothing to them. I say, well, do people tease him? No one cares. Or this one came out when they have a friend that comes out as bisexual or gay. It is absolutely, there is no reaction. It's a fact. And to, you know, and for someone in my generation, there's still a bit of that internal homophobia of, you know, and I do believe Harvey Milk was so ahead of his time telling people, come out and let people know that someone who means the world to them is gay, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a coach, whether it's a guy that works at the gym, whether it's your bus driver, your postman. You know, people need to realize they interact with gay people on a daily basis, people who they like. And we were born this way. No one would choose to live in a world where they are abhorred. But it really is to watch this generation. This one has two moms. This one has two dads. This, and it is nothing. Yeah. It is nothing. It is such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Ralph Marante?
And I think the same can be said about the gay marriage issue. You know, now that gay marriage is legal, it will become commonplace. And once it becomes commonplace, then people have no reason to question it. We spent years debating whether we should or we shouldn't and people getting fighting about it. But now that it's there, it's a part of our lives and it'll become normal. And I think gay parenting is the next thing that's going to happen because there's still a lot of questions about that. And the more people we have, like my friend Matt sitting next to me and he and his husband Casey having children, the more that becomes the normal, the more that it won't be a big issue for the next generation.
Yeah, you know, I met talking about my son's class. There's 16 kids in his class and there are two kids with same-sex parents and it's nothing. You know, I mean, it's just, like Judy said, it's just not a thing. But so a couple of things here. First of all, we're talking to Judy Gold, a comedian who's coming to Rochester, coming to the JCC this weekend on Sunday. Two shows, one at 2 p.m., one at 6:30. And Ralph Marante, they can still get tickets?
You can still get tickets. 25 questions for a Jewish mother, jccrochester.org.
Okay, because, you know, we're kind of rolling on this subject. We're not going to spend the entire hour on being a gay parent or, you know, these related subjects. We are going to eventually talk about being a Jewish mom as well, which Judy's got lots of experience.
If I could just add to what we were speaking of,
sure.
You know, I have had the honor. I'm humbled to say that I'm friends with Edie Windsor, and it's an interesting thing because I had been talking about Edie Windsor, who was the plaintiff in the Defense of Marriage Act case. And I had been talking about her and my act for years before I even met her, and then I had invited her to a show, and she saw herself and her wife, you know, she's a widow now, on a screen as I was doing my last show, The Judy Show, My Life is a Sitcom. And for her, when you think about when you said 10 years ago, I never thought, here's a woman, 40 years, 1967, her wife, who, you know, the woman who became her wife, proposed to her in 1967. And to have in your head the ability and the dream that this could be a reality in the year 1967, to me, I mean, in the year 2007, some people thought this will never happen. To me, that's the most beautiful thing. And when you think about that particular case of Edie Windsor versus the United States, she was the perfect plaintiff because here we're talking about a woman who was with someone for over 40 years. They had to, both of them, incredibly successful. One was Edie was worked on the first IBM computer. She was a math genius. Her wife was a very well-respected psychologist, and here are two people that contributed so much to the world, really. And Thea, her wife, had MS and was unable. You know, she was a quadriplegic, and at the time they got married, they had to take a plane with three aides to an airport in Canada to get married, and a lot of medical equipment, and they got married in the hotel at the airport because, you know, Thea Spire could not travel, and then came back to New York so they could be legally married. They've been in a relationship for 40 years. And then when Thea passes, Edie gets this bill, a federal inheritance tax bill of $363,000 because they were not, quote-unquote, legally married under federal law. And that, to me, you know, and when you think about gay marriage, it is such a conservative thing. You know, paying taxes, that really is a button that conservatives can relate to. And also the idea of marriage and the idea of family. This is something that when we talk about family values, that is what we're embracing. And how dare you say that, you know, Matt with his husband and his child and soon to be children and myself, how does that affect your life, that I want to live by the same standards, that I should be entitled to the same federal benefits that every other family, that my children should be able to think my family is just as valid as every other family. How do you say that to a child? Listen, you know, we're not equal. It is abhorrent, and it is awful. And today in Alabama, we have a situation going now where they're not issuing same-sex marriage licenses. And these people should be ashamed of themselves. This is not about religion. It is about, you know, when you think about when gay marriage passed, where did everyone go? They went to City Hall. They didn't go to churches. They didn't go to synagogues. They didn't go to mosques. I'm sorry. They were standing online at City Hall. New York had the largest amount of marriage licenses the day it passed in New York City, ever in the history of New York City. They went to get their rights. They didn't go to have God's approval. And that's where this whole sort of line needs to be clarified for people.
Well, Judy mentioned when that she sort of felt like she always knew and then had that sort of moment in marching in the parade in 1973. Matt Tappan,
right.
We were discussing before the hour began, Matt has one child, another on the way. But I asked you,
sure.
When you knew you were gay, did the question of future parenting come up? And you immediately said yes.
So, absolutely.
So when did you, I guess there's two separate questions. When did you know you were gay, and then when did you come out, and how did that impact the way you thought about the possibility that you might not have kids?
Yeah, so I had a unique growing up situation in the fact that my family was very open. My older brother came out of the closet probably when I was in fifth or sixth grade.
Wow.
And here I was questioning that something was different about me. But mm-hmm. Even in that open of a household, the question of children came into my mind because I knew I wanted to be a dad. And in my mind, somehow, if I came out of the closet, that was done. And that was with two supportive parents who I knew loved my brother. I'm so lucky in the thought of never being kicked out, you know? I mean, there was never a thought of danger coming to me coming out of the closet. But I went through college trying to figure out what, you know, I should be with a girl because I want to have a child.
Did you try to date women in college?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's so interesting, Matt, because people always ask, oh, have you ever slept with a guy, you know? And I feel like we, you know, it's like your experience, we feel like, oh, we have to make sure we're gay.
Right.
You know, so we sleep with an opposite sex person because, no, I have to make sure. But straight people never say, oh, I have to make sure I'm straight. You know?
Right. Yeah. So it wasn't
it's
very true. It's very true. And I will clarify I never went all the way with a girl, but and you know,
you didn't think you'd ever be on public radio telling
me
stories.
Correct. That is correct. My mother probably never thought I'd be on public radio saying that either. But I tried and I went with probably, as I think about it, the most wholesome girls who I thought wouldn't have sex because I was worried. I was worried
what would happen if
they wanted to, and you know, there are lots of stories there where I broke up with girls because, oh, okay, you want to go farther than I want. But either way, it was not until I accepted the fact that and saw some role models like Judy. I mean, I don't know that I knew Judy well then, but people who had the courage and who were doing that to say, oh, this can happen. And this does not define, you know, just coming out of the closet. My orientation does not define whether I will be a father someday or not.
And how long was it after college? Was it still in college?
I was a senior in college.
Senior in college.
Yep.
And at that
May
point,
may I ask what year that was?
It was 1996.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's the year my son was born. Yeah. It's I never, you know, unlike you, I thought, oh, I'll be a parent. I had no idea how, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until I was with some, you know, in a relationship, and she said, we're having kids. And I said, ugh. I thought, how? You know, here I am. I'm a practicing Jew. I don't know if anyone else practices a religion. But, you know, this idea that you can't have faith and you can't, you know, be part of an organized religion and be gay and be a gay parent and have family. to me, that was the sort of straw that, you know, I thought, I'm not less than anywhere. And it's interesting that you think about this dream of being a father, and yet you think the only way I can do it is this way. And it's that to me is I'm so happy that you are able to do that and not
to experience the misery of parenthood. Is that what you're trying to say, Judy? Is that you're so thrilled there's another person in the world who's like, can we listen to a clip? This is Judy talking about parenting. And what I love about this is 06032, Val. This is Judy not only talking about parenting from a gay perspective, but also from just a perspective because, oh, it turns out that gay parents are just parents. So let's listen to this.
Surprise!
Yeah, amazing, is it?
Shocking.
Let's listen to this clip.
I have to tell you, kids are very cute when they're little, and then they get really annoying. I have a teenager who literally ignores me constantly. His name's Henry. And the other day I went home, and he's laying on the couch, and I called his name about 12 times. No response. And then finally I screamed his name really loud, and then he says, "Can't you see I'm doing something? What are you, deaf?" And I said, "First of all, you do not talk to me like that. And second of all, it's what are you, blind, okay?" But I am a gay mom, and I have to say, there's a lot of challenges being a gay mom, and I actually had to do the talk with my kids, and I have to say, it was very difficult explaining heterosexual sex to my sons with a complete lack of enthusiasm.
You know, it's interesting. I haven't done those jokes in a while. I got to regurgitate those. But it's interesting because when I came out as a gay parent on stage, and I think I'm almost 100% sure I was the first comedian to come out as a gay parent and start doing jokes about my family, it became, you know, the other parents in the audience, it's like, yes, our families are exactly like, we have the same exact issues with our children. And, you know, laughter disarms people, but it's also such a powerful tool to get any sort of subversive topic across in a palatable way where people are laughing and don't realize that they're getting the point, that there's more to what than to the laughter. And that's in 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother. It turned out that I did the show, and it's really a journey I took. We interviewed Jewish mothers all over the country because here I am, you know, I have this Jewish mother. I am a Jewish mother, but I'm nothing like the typical Jewish mother, or so I thought, until I interviewed these women. And I thought, where do I fit in to this world? And it turned out that so many people came to see that show and then came back with their parents and came out to them after the show. And I have so many letters from kids saying, "Thank you. I thought I couldn't be Jewish and gay. I thought I had to leave my community. I thought my parents will never accept me." And, you know, here I am, not intentionally doing this, but just by telling my story of, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to accept your prejudice. I am equal, and I deserve to be a member of every community," in sort of a theatrical way, in an entertaining way. It opened the doors for these kids, and the parents enjoyed the show too, you know, to say, "Well, I want to tell you I'm like her." And to me, I mean, it's the greatest gift in the world.
Well, let's listen to one more clip then from Judy Gold talking about parenting and what other parents might be inclined to say to a gay parent.
It's very odd being the gay parent. And, you know, my kids, you know, Henry's 16. When I had kids, it wasn't as common as it is now, and we're in New York. But I have to tell you, I remember when they were very young, we were at the park, and this woman asked me if I was planning on raising my sons as homosexuals. And I was like, absolutely, come on. I mean, their G.I. Joe just got kicked out of the military, so they're playing with Barbies, and we don't have any bedrooms in our apartment. They're going to be sleeping in the closet for the first 18 years of their lives.
Now, it's just amazing that people would say this, but Judy, that makes me just want to ask you a couple of questions. Is it easier now to be on stage and doing comedy about being a gay parent than it was when you... What was the first time you told a joke about being a gay parent? Do you remember?
The first time was right after my son was born.
96, 97?
Because it was 1996. And we had gone to... my partner, my ex-partner now, but Sharon, the other mom, had a C-section. And I remember he was 6 days old, and we were walking to the Judaica store, which is, you know, three blocks away. I'm on the Upper West Side. There's, you know, Starbucks Judaica. And so we were walking there, and I had Henry in the Baby Bjorn, you know. You know what I'm talking about?
The thing,
yeah,
absolutely.
The kid,
absolutely.
And then you trip and fall, and the baby dies. All right, anyway, so... Sorry, but I always think that. So anyway, I'm wearing him, and I'm online to get yarmulkes for the bris. And Sharon had just recovered from the C-section. She's leaning on the counter, and I'm online, and this woman comes over to me and says, "Oh, my God, that baby is so cute. So cute." And I'm like, "Thank you." And she calls her friend up, "Florence, look at how cute. How old?" I said, 6 days. And she said, 6 days? And you look fabulous. I said, "Oh, thank you very much." And we went outside, and Sharon, "How dare you? I can't believe." And it was, to me, it was so hilarious that I thought, this is such a funny situation that, you know, here I am getting the credit for, you know, looking so beautiful after the birth of my son, who's 6 days old, and she's, you know, can barely walk down the street. And so many of these situations where, and I'm sure Matt knows, that we come out every day. We have to come out because people just assume, and our children do too. And you'll see as your kids get older, when it's constant. My son is extremely tall. My younger son is 14. He's 6'4", and constantly, "Oh, how tall is your dad?" And it's really gonna take a while to teach the world not to assume that every family is exactly the same. And I recently actually wrote a piece for Huffington Post when Ben got his tonsils removed, and how the hospital had constantly been saying, "Well, who's the real mother?" And who's, you know, when they called for a follow-up call, he answered the phone. They asked if his mother or father was there. And I wrote this article, and now Columbia Presbyterian has now changed their practices to deal more sensitively with, you know, gay parents. It is great that we've come so far, but, you know, we sort of, being a gay parent carries a lot of responsibility when you're with your child, to have to, in a sort of a kind, firm way, explain to people who you deal with every day that you shouldn't assume that, you know, every family is exactly the same.
Yeah, and Matt's been a parent for not as long as Judy, but are you experiencing some of that?
Yeah, you know, the first time I can remember, my older brother is also gay and has two children, and his husband writes a blog and wrote a pretty significant blog about how important it was and what he realized in terms of speaking about his family in front of his children. And I faced that the first Mother's Day that we had. Mother's Day was not a huge deal at our house. It was certainly for the grandmothers, but not for either of us. You know, that's the funniest question I've gotten too. "So who do you celebrate Mother's Day?" I said, "Why would we celebrate Mother's Day?"
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. But anyway, I remember the first Mother's Day. It was a beautiful day, and I went for a walk. And, you know, maybe it's odd, I don't know, not in the neighborhood I live in, but that a father would go out for a walk with their child. But, you know, calling out to me was, "Oh, you're giving mom a nice day, letting her sleep in." And I had to make the conscious decision. You know, this was 2 miles from my house. It's not a neighbor that I see that knows me, to say, "Nope, actually, she's got two dads," and keep walking. Because first of all, in my mind, you know, I say, why do I even have to go down that road with this person? But then I looked down at her and said, I'm going down that road because she needs to know it. She was
absolutely.
She was 5 months old at the time, and I know she wasn't conscious about it, but I needed to put myself in that place because it would have been very easy to walk by and just say, yeah. Yep, she's in bed. Well, he's home in bed, but it's not because it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, so. Right. I'm so proud of you for doing that because I always think, is it worth it? And it is. It really is. And I remember we have a house in Provincetown, and years ago, when Ben was very little. Now I don't know, Matt. Are you daddy? And
I'm daddy. He's dad.
Okay, so we're mommy and mama.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mommy and she's mama. And so she had taken Ben. He was under 2 years old at the time. I had Henry with me, and I'd taken them to the airport, and they were taking a short flight from Provincetown to Boston to New York. And so Sharon gets on, you know, goes to the ticket counter or whatever, you know, to check in. It's a tiny airport. And so they said to her, to Ben at the time, oh, so is this your mommy? Because she had forgotten his birth certificate, but he was under two. It usually isn't an issue. And he said, no, we just left my mommy. You know, my mommy's not here. And it
security, security, security.
And she had to say, I'm mama, she's mom. And it's before this, I remember when they were very little, we were going to D.C., and the flight, the person, the ticket person said, well, who's the real mother? And, you know, we were very upset. I said, we forgot. We always say, oh, I don't know. Who is the real mother?
I do not want to be on the other end of the security thing when it's Judy.
When it's Judy Gold.
Yeah. I do not want to be that guy.
They have taught me, and, you know, Matt, you'll realize it. The kids teach you, you know, what needs to be changed in our world, and I learned so much from, you know, their perspective of, oh, well, we have to teach them this, that, you know, real mother versus, I said it's bio mother, and you should never, ever say that in front of a child.
Yeah.
And you think about it, it's not only gay parents. I think of all the kids who lost their parents in 9/11,
mm-hmm.
who have one parent, and other kids who were brought up by grandparents. I mean, those kids are reminded every day on Mother's Day, Father's Day. It's a systemic problem that we all assume that there's this homogeny and every family is exactly the same. And so because of those things, because Henry came home and it's like, well, this form said mother, father, what do I do? You know, that is when I take action. And I knew to take action. I called Christine Quinn. I said to her, you got to change the public school forms because, you know, and so that, and when we do that, and when we act upon our children's questions and confusion, that sort of begins the change.
Well, I'm way late for a break, and I want to talk to Judy about how she did the show, the interviews with Jewish mothers, and what the show coming about with JCC. You see what we've done here, Judy? I'm so invested in this part of the conversation. I've gone way long. I do want to ask one more quick thing here. I feel like you know, one sign that we will be making more progress on this issue is when gay characters, for example, in television or movies or advertisements are not gay for the sake of being gay or gay as the storyline. And there was recently an ad that I thought was amazing. And now I don't remember the product, which is not a good sign for the product. But the ad was great, in which there was a child. I don't know if it was like a cereal or some food product. And there's dad with the kid, and he uses the fan to say, Luke, I am your father. And then the camera pans, and it's another dad, and he says, no, Luke, I am your father. they're trying to get him to eat something. Listeners, remind me what product that is. It was recent, but it was great because it's a toddler, and dads are trying to get him to eat, which parents go through. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't done in a way that was anything but loving and sweet and clever.
Right. That is so
great.
Important. My show after 25 Questions is the journey I took trying to get a gay family sitcom on television. where it's not a gay family. It's just a family who happens to be gay. And how the years of me pitching this show and how it's constantly gotten the kibosh. And it's true. The gay characters, yes, Will and Grace did an amazing job of bringing gay characters into people's lives. But so many of them are stereotypical, which is more harm than good.
Well, producer extraordinaire Megan Mack tells me it's a Campbell Soup commercial. They've already got it pulled up there. Val, our engineer, already has the commercial. Have you seen that by the way, Mack?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I'm sorry.
I'm so offended that you, a gay dad, hasn't seen the best gay dad commercial ever.
I haven't seen commercials.
You have to look at all the commercials of gay people.
Right. You are responsible.
I will go home and watch. I will Google it.
I want you to tape that and show your kids.
Let's get a short break. If you're just joining us, comedian Judy Gold's on the line with us. She's coming to Rochester for the JCC. She's coming to the JCC this weekend. We have Matt Tappan in studio, proud dad telling his story, and Ralph Maranto is the JCC's artistic director. And Ralph, Judy's here Sunday for two shows. Tickets are available. When are the shows?
Sunday, 2 o'clock and 6:30. Only two shows. You can get them at jccrochester.org or 461-2000.
Are you allowed to tell us, like, is she doing super secret other stuff this weekend?
Judy is also the host of our big JCC gala on Saturday night, which we're very excited about. 300 people will be coming to raise money for all of the programs that the JCC has to offer for seniors, for families, for the gay and straight community, for the Jews and non-Jews, and we're so thrilled to have her with us on Saturday for the gala, and then she'll hang out for a couple of her performances of her acclaimed off-Broadway show.
I can vouch. I'm not Jewish, and I have been in the JCC for birthday parties, and I took my son to see Curious George.
Curious George
was
great.
It was awesome.
We just had Solo Circus last weekend, and we've got Ivy and Bean next weekend with our children's theater company. It's a hoppin' theater. Judy's going to have to perform on the set for Ivy and Bean, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Just kidding. I'll push it backstage. I've got the curtain coming in. It's fine.
I have this picture of my son, and he's literally in the most cliche mode, on the edge of his seat. Mm-hmm. And he's actually out on the edge of his seat. Let's get a short break and finish the hour with Judy Gold. We'll find out more about her show that's coming to the JCC on Sunday next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, NBA basketball writer Chris Haynes is a tall black man who was arrested by a white police officer for trespassing near his own home. Haynes is telling his own story now, and it's gone viral this week. He will tell us that story on Friday. Then, it's a preview of the upcoming Martin Luther King Jr. Conference and Worship Service in Rochester, talking social justice. Talk to you then.
For years, Kate Blanchett was signed on to star in the movie Carol. It's a complex love story between two women set in the 1950s, and it's based on Patricia Highsmith's novel, first published as The Price of Salt.
It's the slippery sexuality and morality that is so attractive, I think.
Kate Blanchett on Playing Carol later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Now's the point where the host should clarify. I mean, we've been rolling with Judy on these subjects, but her comedy runs the gamut. It's not just about being a gay parent. And in fact, her show is 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, covers a lot of different subjects. But Judy, I want to ask you, you know, how you kind of put the show together. Give us a little background on that first.
Oh, sure. So my co-writer and friend, Kate Moira Ryan, and I were in Chicago. I was working, and I told her I want to do a one-person show, and she's a playwright. And she said, well, and I said, I don't want it to be my stand-up. And she said, well, what's the topic that's so, you know? And I said, you know, it's interesting because I talk about my mother all the time in my act, and yet I get such pushback from Jewish publications and complaining that I'm promoting a stereotype when I'm actually verbatim saying and what my mother says and what and the way she says it. And I had, you know, recently become a mother, and we talked about just interviewing. Let's start with these interviews. Let's see where you fit into the world of Jewish mothers. And we started with this Orthodox enclave in Queens. One of my producer friends at HBO, I did HBO at the Multiplex. I used to interview people outside the movie theater. And the producer of that came from this Orthodox family. She happened to be gay as well. And she set up our first set of interviews. And we put together, oh, God, like 50 questions and realized, we better cut this down. And we started, and wherever I traveled, you know, doing stand-up or even asking the women we interviewed, do you know anyone else who would be interested in this? We just started interviewing these women, and we narrowed it down to 25 really of the best questions we had that really facilitated conversation. And we went, I mean, I would travel to Reno or wherever I was going to work. We'd call local synagogues or JCCs, do you know any women who would be interested in speaking to us? And it really ran the gamut from, you know, young to old, religious, non-religious, people who didn't even know they were Jewish, people. The only requirement we had was that they were a Jewish mother. And their stories were fascinating. And the way we sort of molded the piece was, when I got to a certain part in my life where I asked myself a question, I actually have the women answer it. And it really tells the story of me becoming a mother, a Jewish mother, with and having a Jewish mother, and not wanting to be like my Jewish mother. And yet you really realize everyone has a story and a journey, and they're all fascinating. And it is, I have to say, you know, we got rave reviews. I just did it in Toronto, and it is, I think, the piece I'm most proud of. It is so perfect in so many ways. I mean, I'm not trying to be like, but it is.
No, be like,
yeah.
No, it's beautiful and it's touching. It's an honest, true story, but it's hilarious. I just the kind of piece that I love to bring in because people learn something from it, they experience something from it, but they also just have a riot of a good time.
And Judy,
they laugh, they cry. And I can't tell you how many people would come up to me. I'm Baptist, but I'm telling you right now, your mother and my mother are exactly alike. And it is a universal story about family and becoming a mother. And men, I can't tell you how many men, straight men, who you know, love the piece. It has something for everyone, and it's very touching, it's very moving, and it's very funny, and it really runs the gamut. It's I have to say, it's an amazing work of art.
and if you don't say it, who will? Yeah,
Judy, what is a kind of moment from the show where you would warn somebody, you may think this is a stereotype, but this is absolutely spot on from experience and from the work that you did?
I do address that. I address that in the beginning of the show. Well, when I become the women, you realize that the only similarity, the only stereotypical quote unquote thing was that whenever we interviewed women at their homes, there was always food. There was always food, eat, please eat. But other than that, the answers to the questions were vastly different. And it became a book and we're selling the book as well, but that has way more of the interviews in it. But you forget about the stereotype, even though some of them have stereotypical, what you might say are stereotypical affects. It doesn't become about that anymore. It really is about the story. And the fact that people who are, you know, I have people goss, you know, with the white makeup and they're all tattooed. Oh my God, I love this. You're I'm just like you and your mother. And I'm like, no, because my mother would have been sitting Shiva if I came home with tattoos and my nose pierced and, you know, white up on my face. But yeah, it deals with so many issues that are universal.
Talking to Judy Gold, coming to Rochester, the JCC on Sunday. Two shows of Judy Gold's 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, 2 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Ralph, is there a chance if you show up at the door, you may not get in?
I would certainly suggest you get your tickets in advance, especially for the 2 o'clock show. But we're going to get you in. We promise. Judy wants everybody there.
Okay. Well, it's and the website.
Have to come.
and the website to do that?
JCCRochester.org or 461-2000.
Judy, did anything surprise you in this process? You know, when you're either putting the show together or the people you talk to, the stories you heard?
So many surprises. You know, because I went in thinking, oh, my God, it's just going to be, well, my son's a doctor, the other one's a lawyer, and my husband this, and it was nothing like that. It was zero of that. It was once, you know, there's a line in the show about how the interviews had taken so much longer than we had anticipated because for so many of these women, it was the first time that anyone had asked them about their lives, that it wasn't about their kids and their husband. It was about them. And to hear these voices that have been muted, so to speak, it was incredible.
Well, and Ralph, you said that you sort of endorse this idea that it is funny, but it's beautiful, and it's got these beautiful moments. And I think, you know, in your own work at the JCC, you bring in different performers, different genres, you do different kinds of shows, but and make clear for the audience that this really is aimed at everybody.
It's a universal show. I mean, we have a 300-seat theater at the JCC. It's a beautiful space. People love to perform there. But we obviously, even in the city of Rochester, we couldn't exclusively do only shows that are catering to the Jewish population. I run the Jewish theater. I'm not even Jewish. We have more of our audience is not Jewish than is. We certainly do tell a lot of Jewish stories because we are the place for that. But we tell stories about the African-American community. We tell stories about the gay and lesbian community. And when we can find something that bridges all of those things, brings people together, gets a conversation going, and people are going to have an awesome time and laugh about it. That's the kind of work we like to do.
Judy, you began in comedy when we asked earlier, you know, after your first child was born, it was the first time you started telling jokes about being a gay parent, but your actual comedy career started when?
Oh my God. A dare in college, my sophomore year, so that was 1982 or 83. It was the first time I really did stand up. I started going to the clubs, but I really wanted to graduate. So I was there for a little while in the early 80s, but didn't really start, you know, getting out to those clubs every single night of my life until about 31 years ago, right, 1986.
Three decades in comedy, especially regularly, professionally. And, you know, we talked this hour about how it is easier now to talk about being a gay parent. It's easier to be probably a gay parent. But at the same time, once in a while, I'll come across a clip on YouTube of comedy from the 80s, and it will be the kind of comedy that I think, I don't know if they could say that today. This is sort of sexist or tone deaf or this or that. And I wonder how you see comedy having changed in your three decades from various perspectives.
Oh, absolutely. You know, from, you know, a female perspective, I have to say, you know, there are, and it still happens, but any show with a female, if there was a show with three ladies, I hate that word lady, but if there's a show with three female comics, it was always Ladies Night Out or, you know, Hysterical. A show with three guy comics was just a show. And it often, when a woman went to a club, if she didn't do well, all women were banned from that club. And it was a struggle. And I was always very abrasive, and I have to say, I was chided more about being Jewish. I was told by managers and agents in the 80s and 90s, you're too Jewish, you're too Jewish. Of course, all of them were Jewish, but, you know, you're too Jewish. And that was another reason I wanted to do this show. It's like, how can I deny part of who I am? All of who I am, really. But it is amazing. You have these comics in the 80s, oh, get me a beer. And I said to my wife, you know, and it was politically incorrect. But now we've gotten to the point where people don't listen and everything is overly politically correct. Mm-hmm. They listen to one word and they have a reaction instead of listening to a full joke.
So are we too sensitive?
Issue, I think now that people were not, obsessed with their phones. They were not, you know, we went out, we wrote, when I was on the road, there was no computer, there was no internet. We had to read and you know, write material. And today it's like, oh, I'm a YouTube star, so I'm going to go into a comedy club and headline. It's a whole different world with social media. And it's hard, you know, I have to tell you, it's hard to get used to when you're my age, but it's changed a tremendous, tremendous amount.
Are we too sensitive?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I always say, you know, we hate the Westboro Baptist Church, right? Every gay person and straight person, I think everyone finds them abhorrent. But they serve a purpose. It's a tangible way for us to say, oh, you don't believe me? Well, here's the signs, you know? I believe in freedom of speech. I feel like it opens up a dialogue. And when we, you know, that whole, remember, I lived through the AIDS crisis, the silence equals death. It couldn't be more true that when we sort of stuff away, oh, we can't talk about that, we can't talk about that, you know, the world blows up. It's awful. And that's essentially what homophobia is. Like, you know, my mother always, why, Ellen never talks about it. What do you have to talk about? I have to talk because that's who I am, and I'm a comic, and that's what I find funny. It's my life, you know? And why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't it be a part of, you know, everyday dialogue? It's, we have gotten so overly sensitive and angry. And I also find we have less self-respect. We have no respect for the office of the presidency. That people are just, I feel like we're not as intelligent, and I feel like we're not as sophisticated. And I do feel like there is less respect for one another.
Mm. Well, a lot of material there, and so much built into this remarkable show that's coming on Sunday to the JCC. It's Judy Gold's 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother. Tickets on sale now for the 2 and 6:30 p.m. shows on this coming Sunday. Ralph Maranto from the JCC. One more time, your website to people to find tickets.
JCCRochester.org or call 461-2000.
Thank you for making this happen.
JudyGold.com.
JudyGold.com. That's right.
So much funny stuff there.
It's there too, yeah.
Judy, I couldn't have had more fun this hour with you, and I know everyone looks forward to seeing you here, but thanks for taking the time for this program.
I can't thank you enough for having me. And Matt, good luck.
Thank you.
Judy Gold coming to Rochester Sunday. Thank you, Matt Tappan, for joining the conversation.
Absolutely.
As well.
Thanks for having me.
And Ralph, as always, great to see you. Thanks, sir.
My pleasure.
Valerie LeBanc is the engineer of this broadcast. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson, and this is member-supported public radio.